Good morning.
Good morning.
Wonderful, isn't it? Just to be in God's presence and just sense His goodness, His love. Wonderful to do that. And He's still here.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And He's going to be with us. And He's with us when we are chatting over coffee and when we go away from here. He never leaves us. Wonderful. Yeah, so we're continuing our series in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Looking at the whole subject of love, of selfless agape love. And we've got to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 6. And that is quite simply this. It says, love does not rejoice in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love does not rejoice in evil, but rejoices with the truth. And when he talks about evil, delighting in evil, it's like taking pleasure in it. Or revelling in it. And the term there used for evil is quite broad. So it could be unrighteousness, sin, it could be calamity, it could be injustice. And all those things are sort of encompassed in that. And on the face of it, I guess most of us will say, well, that's not difficult not to do. You know, when we think about some of the terrible things that go on in the world, we can think of what's going on in Gaza, and we can think of what's going on in Ukraine. And some awful, terrible injustices and calamities. And most of us would have no problem in saying, I'm not going to revel in that. It's just awful. And in fact, we might feel anger towards that injustice. And Rochelle was talking about this a couple of weeks ago. And rightly so. We feel that this is so awful. But actually, what we need to remember is this verse is not so much about what's going on in the wide world. It's about how I encounter somebody. It's how I love. And so we need to bring this a bit closer to home. Now, as a football fan, I'm sure you're pleased to know that Crystal Palace are now safe for the season. And we've only just got there. Now, this is quite challenging for me because as a football fan, you want to see your team win. And therefore, you want to see another team lose. And not reveling in their loss can be a bit challenging. It's an interesting thought. Actually, I tend not to revel in losses when I think about it. But football fans do. In fact, if they're playing a team and the team are doing badly and the manager's under pressure, they will often sing, "You're going to get sacked in the morning." Now, that's a bit of banter, but actually behind that, I mean, this is a person who is under pressure, who is going to lose his livelihood, who is going to lose his reputation, and actually, that's actually quite difficult. And actually, when we look at the world does revel a lot in evil. All we have to look at sometimes is in the television or on social media posts. And the media loves to revel in the misfortune of the rich and famous who have, because of misdemeanours or whatever, blasted across the headlines about, you know, this person in court or that person was caught in adultery or whatever it was. And there's a feeding frenzy, finding out all the details, all the gossip, all the things that, you know, and that is reveling in evil.
That's right.
And it's so easy for us to get sucked into that.
That's right.
And to think, I wonder what's wrong with the world. And then we can start thinking, well, they've got their just desserts, haven't they? How dare they, you know, think they're better than us? And we can start delighting and reveling in evil because it's all there, it's in the world. And then perhaps, social media is quite a difficult thing here. We were with our young people a few months ago now, and they had been sent a picture of, or a video of a fight that took place outside the school. Now, it was of no value to them to watch it, apart from just seeing what went on. They weren't there to, what can we do to help this? And this is often what social media does. It takes pictures now, and it spreads them around.
Right.
And we can get drawn in. And there's a need to help our young people to say, well, actually, is this really helpful? So it's just an interesting point that it's all, it's out there. But, you know, it can come quite close to home as well. We can think about Christian leaders that sadly have been tripped up. They've fallen by some way or other. And our often sense of interest or intrigue can lead to us wanting to know what went on, what was the circumstances, why did that happen? And instead of reacting in the right way, we can react in a way of wanting to know all the details, all that went on. And then sometimes, and I think, you know, maybe I can put my hand up to this, we say, well, I'm not surprised. The way they behaved, the way they were like, you know, what they were like, I mean, I'm not surprised this has happened. That's the sort of person they were. That's the sort of organisation that they were part of. And instead of, and although we can couch it in concern, what that really is doing is reveling in their downfall. And so we have to watch ourselves and think, am I doing this for the right reasons? Have I wanted to research this and find out what's going on? And then we can come even closer to home. We can hear about somebody in the church that has had a difficulty or have just tripped up in some way. And we can perhaps think, well, I'm glad it wasn't me. Or we can think, well, actually, I'm not surprised this happened. Looking at the way they used to behave. I mean, actually, they brought that on themselves, didn't they? And we can think that way. And actually, that's not the way the Bible says we should be thinking. And what about this? And this one, I must say, I found challenging. What if that person that has tripped up or some bad news has come was someone that did you wrong in the past? What if they tripped up because of they continue to do wrong and well, actually, they've been found out? How easy it is for us to say, well, I'm vindicated now, aren't I? Well, serves them right. They did wrong to me, they did wrong to somebody else. Look what's happened to them. Well, they deserve that. And that can creep into the way we think and the way we behave. And yet that's not what the Bible says we should do. It says, do not rejoice in evil, in whatever form it comes, or to whoever it comes to. But we rejoice in the truth. And the way I find it easier to try and understand this is to look at sometimes at how Jesus reacted to similar situations and how he behaved with it. And I just want to take a couple of those. And the first one comes from Matthew chapter 23. And in this chapter, there's a series of woes to various people that Jesus is talking about. And he's basically saying, actually, because of the way Israel has behaved, because of the way they have, you know, treated people and the way they treated God, some disaster is going to come upon them, because that was what the covenant said. That's what was said about them, that if they behaved in this way, this would be the consequence. And Jesus talks about, you know, all the prophets that God has sent, the people that he had nurtured and loved and had sent to Israel to try and bring them back. And they had mistreated them, and they had ignored them, and then some they put to death. And Jesus was going over this and saying that do you not understand what's going to happen to you? And you can imagine, thankfully it's not me, but you can imagine, and Jesus thinking about this and thinking, well, you know, actually, you're getting what you deserve, because destruction is coming. And Matthew 23:37. Which is a well-known verse. I'll read it out. Jesus could have said this. He said, "Oh Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you." He could have said, "How often I have thought you will finally get what's coming to you, and justice will be done, and serve you right." He could have said that, but that's not Jesus' heart, is it?
No.
It's not Jesus' heart at all.
No.
You see, even after all that Israel had done, even after all the hatred that was towards God and towards his people, Jesus said this, "O O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who sent you. How often, excuse me, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathered her chicks. But you were not willing. You see, Jesus sees this. He sees this sin, this unrighteousness. Amen. And he has compassion.
Amen.
He has such compassion for those people who are lost, who need to be gathered up, who need to be cared for.
Amen.
And comforted and helped.
Amen.
This is the heart of Jesus for those that hate him. And I'm so glad. So glad when I read this that that is true.
Hallelujah.
Because where would we be if that wasn't the case?
Amen.
Where would we be if we didn't experience the compassion and grace and goodness of Jesus?
Yeah.
Because we hated him when we were far from him, and yet his compassion came to us.
Amen.
And I'm so grateful that this is the Saviour that we know and love.
Hallelujah.
And we have come to know.
Hallelujah.
And that is his heart of compassion, even when it was against him, against the people he loved, against the people that were sent by him and loved by him. He had compassion for them. And of course, when he, on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. But there's also an example of his compassion for another. And there's plenty of examples, but I've just picked one, which is from John chapter 8. It's a well-known passage. And this is where we have a woman caught in adultery. Now, the Pharisees and the leaders and the chief priests and the teachers of the law brought this woman to Jesus. They had no concern for this woman whatsoever. They were reveling in her sin, in her unrighteousness. They were reveling in it. They wanted to trip Jesus up.
Yes.
And so they brought him and said, in our laws, this person should be stoned. And Jesus, in his wisdom, he wasn't going to join in with them. And of course, we know, hopefully most of you know, that his response was, well, let him who is sinless cast the first stone. And of course, they all eventually drifted away. Jesus himself was sinless. He had every right, if you like, to respond to that. But of course he didn't. And his compassion was stirred towards this woman. Now, there is no question. The Bible doesn't say, oh, was she, wasn't she? No, the Bible doesn't excuse her. It doesn't say she wasn't caught in adultery. No doubt there was a man somewhere around as well, equally culpable. But nevertheless, the Bible doesn't sort of say this wasn't something that she was doing wrong. But Jesus comes to her and with compassion, and he's just there, and he says to her, so does no one condemn you? And she said, no. And then this is where rejoicing in the truth comes in, the second part of the verse, because Jesus responds to her in probably one of the greatest truths that we need to know. Because Jesus said to her, so does anyone condemn you? Well, then neither do I. Neither do I. And that is one of the most important truths that we can ever receive from ourselves, isn't it? There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. How important was it for that woman to hear that truth?
Amen.
That she is not condemned. That she is forgiven.
Hallelujah.
That she is loved.
Amen.
That she is lifted up by the Saviour. And that's what he came to do. And that's why he wants to bring truth to this woman. Now, he didn't overlook. He didn't just ignore what went on. He then said, go and leave your life of sin. But she had renewed help and hope. She had the forgiveness of a Saviour. And obviously, as we look later on in the Bible, we have the hope of the Holy Spirit to give us that strength to lead a life worthy of the calling we've received. And so, but this woman went away, not rejected, not stoned, but with wonderful truth ringing in her ears.
Amen.
It is so important for us to understand how we come across to people
yes.
who are in unfortunate situations. Mm-hmm. Situations that may be of their own making or maybe not. And what they need to receive from us is the love and compassion of someone who has experienced the love and compassion of Jesus
Amen.
For themselves.
Amen.
Galatians 6 verse 1 says, "Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore them gently." Should restore them gently. "But watch yourself, or you may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." There is a place for us to get alongside people who have fallen, who have struggles in their life. But we do it with compassion, and we do it with gentleness.
That's right.
We don't do it with judgment.
Mm.
We don't do it with, "Aha, well, that told you so, didn't it?" We don't do it in any of that way. And we do it rejoicing in the truth. The truth that we're loved by God, that He is the one that is for us. We rejoice in the truth that He is with us, and that He loves us, and that He doesn't condemn us.
Mm.
And it's interesting, a number of the translations talk about, would say that it's rejoicing in the truth. Whereas I believe a better translation is with the truth. Now we can rejoice in truths, and it's a subtle difference, is that we can talk about the wonderful truths of God. Oh, God is good, God is faithful, God is kind, God is forgiving, all those sort of things. And we can celebrate those truths. We can celebrate in those truths. What this verse, I think, is getting at is celebrating with the truth.
Amen.
Is about what truth has brought or brings into someone's life.
Amen.
It's about wanting to see that truth effectively being applied to a person's life or to my life. The Message translation puts it this way: love takes pleasure in the flowering of truth. So that when we see what our heart is when we bring truth, is to see that having a wonderful, restoring, renewing effect in someone's life. That truth comes not to condemn them, but to lift them up. That truth comes not to point out their sin, but to bring them back into relationship and to restoration with their Saviour, and into a proper and right standing of who they are in God and how much they're loved. And so that's what truth is about. It's about seeing good things happen, good result happening in someone's life. There was a wonderful story shared last week, I think it was. It was last week. Which really touched me, about from the ESL team came, and they shared this story about a girl who had was captured by Boko Haram and was horribly ill-treated, and eventually got released and came to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that to hear the testimony of the fact that the truth of the love of God had so come into her life, had so flowered in her, that she thought that she was the most loved person in the world. And I find that incredible. But that's what truth does. Real truth just overcomes all that terrible thing. Now, in this instance, it was evil done to her rather than evil that she had done. But the reality of it is that although they're very different, truth addresses both of those situations and restores and brings the wonderful hope of Jesus into their lives. And it's so wonderful to hear that. So just to finish this, how can we put this verse into practice? Well, our own relationship with God is the key. We have experienced the compassion of a Saviour. Either when we've had evil done to us, or when we have ourselves sinned, we have known the grace of God. We have known the goodness of God, the kindness of God, the compassion of God. When we've tripped up and He's come to us and He's spoken to us and He hasn't condemned us, He's pointed us in the right way, and we have felt hope come back into our hearts. That is the basis of how we should treat other people, when we remember the compassion and the kindness of God and how he has brought stuff to us. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3 to 5 says this: "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble." And that trouble can be stuff they've got into because of sin. "With the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ." And so our starting point for when we are trying to address this verse is to let's go back to what God has done for us. Let's remember the compassion, the goodness of God. Let's remember when we've tripped up and God has come to us, either through a passage of scripture or through some event in our life or through a brother or sister, and they've gently come alongside us and helped us. I can remember a challenging time. This was when my mum died, and actually a Christian came alongside me. He didn't actually know the situation and started talking to me from Psalm 99, and God brought such a comfort to me from basically saying, "I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. I'm not making a mistake here." And it was so helpful that I had someone who was prepared to bring some truth, but in compassion, into my life. And so often, how the character and the faithfulness of God has been something that has really given me a good steadfast, that wonderful truth about who God is and what he's like, reassuring and instilling truth that enables me to get through and stand in particular situations. I need to hear truth. I need to hear truth when things are tough. But that needs to be spoken in love. We speak the truth in love.
Amen.
Because if we bring it in any other way, the beginning of the passage talks about, if I don't have love, it will be like a clanging gong or a clanging cymbal, a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. However good the truth is, if it's not brought in love, it won't be heard.
That's right.
Because it will be grating to our ears. And so when we approach someone, we need to ask ourselves, do I have real compassion for this person? Am I wanting to make a point with them? Well, if you are, then step back. But if you want to come with the compassion of Christ, because you genuinely care for them, your heart breaks for them, even whatever situation they're in, whether they've fallen into sin or whether something has happened to them, if your heart is breaking for them, then you will be able to bring something of the comfort of God to their life. And you'll be able to bring something of the truth of God, something that God has spoken to you that you can help and apply into their own life. And when we come with that attitude, so we can rejoice in the truth, and love can prevail and help that person be restored. And that is ultimately what we want. Is we want whoever has had evil done to them or fallen into sin, whatever, we want them restored. That is our heart. That is the heart of God. And that is our heart for our fellow men and women. So let me just encourage you. I want us to be people who are able to rejoice in the truth and bring it to one another. That is so powerful. I have experienced it and it's so good. But we need to do it in a way that is they can receive it, which is having a heart of compassion as Christ has for us. Let's just pray. Yeah, Jesus. Lord Jesus, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for your heart of compassion towards me, towards us. Thank you that when we were far away, when we were your enemies, when we hated you, you came to us and you died for us. Thank you, Lord, that you don't run from us when we trip up. You don't run away. You don't say serves you right.
Yes.
When we fall. But you come with compassion.
Hallelujah.
And mercy and forgiveness and grace. And you bring restoration. You don't come with condemnation.
No.
You don't come with judgment.
Mm.
You come with a heart to restore.
Mm.
And bring us back. And God, we just want to say, Father, where we haven't been like that, Lord, we confess that. And when we haven't been like that with our, when we've heard something on the radio or in social media, or when we've heard something about our fellow man or woman, Lord, we just confess, Lord, we don't always react in that way. And Lord, we confess that and we say, God, help us. Help us remember your compassion and your love for us.
Amen.
That we may bring that to one another. That we may, in love, bring truth that restores, that flowers in people's lives. That we may rejoice in how truth has had an effect, how truth has restored, how truth has built up, how truth has set someone free. Oh Lord, how wonderful that is. Lord, help us to be those that so love one another that we are prepared to bring truth that sets free. That we will have compassion and kindness for our fellow man.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.